And that is, we're getting ready to learn administrative skills. And every time I do PG, when we do this first part, and it's, of course, very spiritual, and we're getting into the Word, the assumption is that this is going to be a preacher meeting, preachers meeting. It's not. That's not it. You have a folder, a binder, that says the Movement Leadership Module. You have this. I need you to pull this out now. Multitasking is the section on page 4 where we're going to deal with now. And I'm not going to take the time to go and read all of this. This is good reference material for you later, but I'm going to talk through a lot of it. But what question we are asked when in most sessions and when conferences and things like that is, how do I get everything done that I get done? You know, I mean, people just, you know, they marvel at the amount of work that we're able to accomplish. And that is because we respect time management and we know how to multitask. Now, you have to learn how to multitask if you're going to be an effective leader. You're going to have to learn how to take over and take control of your time, all right? And so this is, again, a discipline factor. Everybody say discipline, discipline. Okay, wasted time is wasted money. Wasted time is wasted money because it takes time to make money. So when I'm wasting time, I waste money. Now, here's the illustration I normally you do at this time that I just kind of passed it up. I normally do a switcheroo. I have a stack of, you know, like $100 bills, and I show it to everybody. And then, you know, I have another little stack of paper that's copied where it looks like $100, stack of $100 bills. You follow me? But then I pull a switcheroo. I have it shown to everybody. And then, you know, I do the con thing where you don't see me switch. Then I go to the shredder and I start shredding what it looks like $100 bills. And folk go wild. I mean, they just go wild. I think in one piece, the guy just got up and said, "That's a shame. That's a shame." He's a hater. He's a hater in disguise that brought him out. And then I told him, "Sit down. I ain't stupid, man." I said, "This is paper." I said, "I did the switcheroo on you." But anyway, the point was that time is money, and wasted time is like wasting money, shredding money that you'll never be able to recover. So how I think about time is a character thing. Everybody say it's character. Yeah, how I think about time is a character thing. And so if I am going to establish new habits with time, I've got to change how I'm thinking. Now, I had a real encounter that changed my whole thinking on time. Years ago, I went to see one of my mentors, his dad, Dr. A.L. Patterson, and I was late. I was probably hour and a half late. You understand? So I roll on up there, you know, and his car was there, Pastor's car was there, and, you know, I go in the office, and so the secretary tell me, "Well, you know, Dr. Patterson won't see you because you're an hour and a half late for your appointment." I said, "Well, he in, man. No, he's in his office. I can hear him. He's in there. I want to see the pastor." She said, "Do you realize, from here, that you're late? You're an hour and a half late. You never called anything." I said, "Okay, I understand that. But he's in there. I want to see the pastor." And so he storms out of there. "Young man, you have disrespected me. You have wasted my time. I carved out time in my schedule for you, and you didn't have enough respect for yourself or me to call and let me know you were not coming. And let me tell you something about folk who are late. They pay their bills late, and I bet you got bad credit," and turn around and walk back in his office. He was right. I had bad credit. But what challenged me so much, he said I had disrespected him. And my father had taught me, don't disrespect people. I think he may have finished the ninth grade. And a hard worker, worked several jobs to get us, you know, to do whatever, provide for us. So one day my dad takes me and my brother and he puts us in the car. Brother was older than I was and takes us on Skid Row. Y'all know what Skid Row is? Okay, Skid Row was basically where, you know, those who are alcoholics kind of hung out, kind of homeless, that sort of thing. And so he takes us to the Skid Row part of town and says, sons, I don't want y'all to be like that. I want y'all to be like that. He says, said to us, me and my brother, he said, I can only take you so far. He says, other men will come into your life to help you. Whatever you do, don't waste their time. So when he tells me this, I've disrespected him. That was like a dagger, boom. I never saw that when I wasn't timely, I was disrespecting people. You see, you got to associate a meaning to time that's going to cause you to do what's necessary to change. Got it? Start the church late. You know, waiting on folk. You can't wait on people. But that's where I was at that one time. We didn't start on time. It's just, you know, we said we'd start at a certain time, but folk wasn't there. We just kind of hang around and wait for them. And I remember, any of y'all remember the couple, Charles and Frances Hunter? The Hunters, the Happy Hunters. I had them over for service. And so, you know, service will start. It's about 7:30. I think it's about 7:45. We still ain't got started. So Charles comes in. He says, Pastor, didn't you say y'all started 7:30? I said, yeah, but, you know, the people gathering slow. He said, what that's got to do with it? Wow. He said, you said you were going to start at 7:30. Wow. There are people who are sitting out there expecting you to start at 7:30 and keep your word. He said, that's okay. I'll go get started. And he did. Wow. He went out and just cranked up the service and he took over. I was a young pastor. I needed that. But from that day to this day, I don't wait on people. We go with the goers. Everybody said we go with the goers. All right? So you have to, first, I'm on page 5. There's the consideration. You got to look at yourself. Are you a time waster? That has to be the conviction. To the point where, okay, I know I got to do something about this. And there's the confession that is, I've got to begin to speak in agreement and declare that I'm a person on time, and I got to have the courage to make some decisions. Now, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 is a powerful term. It's, you know, the miracle of me being able to get so much done is based on the principle in the scripture. Okay? I'm going to read it. It says, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The key to this is if we walk in the light. Everybody say walk in the light. Now, there's a physics, there's a law of physics that the closer you get to the speed of light, time slows down. Got it? So the more fellowship I have with God, the more time it seems that I have.
Wow.
Okay? So I'm able to accomplish a lot because I walk in the light. It's a powerful principle, all right? So when it comes to time, man, I had one guy who came, man, he years ago, he come, he wants to watch, he's going to shadow me in. I guess about midday, man, that boy's burnt out. Man, when you go, I said, listen, I didn't come to see you. You came to see me, buddy. He's trying to tell me you're doing too much. I'm going, huh? I'm not doing too much. This is what I do. All right? So I maximize my time. Everybody say maximize time. All right, now. So when it comes to maximizing your time, there's some things that we must be ready to do. And that is, I got to first, I'm on page 6 now, I got to value time. Everybody say value time. Yeah, because it's an irreplaceable resource. When it's gone, it's gone. And I tell everybody, you know, figure out what your time is worth. When people say, I want to talk to you for 5 minutes, what is that costing you? Now, how you figure out your time is how much did you make, figure out your salary, how much you make an hour, and then based on that, how much is a minute worth? So when a person asks you for time, 5 minutes, that's how much money they've just asked you for. So in my level, when a person asks me for 5 minutes, I don't know if you can afford. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. The whole point is I got to change my thinking on time. That when I'm not timely, I'm disrespectful. When I say I'm going to do something at a certain time and don't do it, I lose integrity. All right? So then when it comes to time management, I've got to understand that it is important to God and it must be important to me that I'm a person who's a good steward of his time. All right? Now, you can read a lot of this yourself, The Impact of Failed Time Management on page 6. I advise you to go and read that. All of these things are so very important. But let's go to page 8 now so we can learn how to develop some time management habits. Establish a why. In other words, why do I need to change? Identify the bad habits. And I need a conscious interrupt. I'm in 2B, 2B. A conscious interrupt stops the autopilot. Develops a suitable conscious interrupt, such as taking a deep breath, pulling on your ear, or an act of some unusual fashion that will cause purposeful action in agreement with the desired behavior. All right. When you are in a habit of doing something, and it doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother you. When you have a habit of doing something, it doesn't bother you, unless you consciously interrupt that habit. And so you got to do something out of the ordinary to consciously interrupt that habit so that you will begin to establish a new habit. So we take control of time, take control of it. When I value it and understand it, time is money. And if I waste time, I'm wasting. Talk back to me so you won't go to sleep. When I'm wasting time, I'm wasting. I'm wasting money. So on page 8, I got 5 things to do to take control of time. Number one. Proper planning of projects. Number 2, prioritize a purpose. In other words, based on purpose, I will prioritize. People on your team. Getting the right people so I can delegate. Plotting your schedule and then protecting your schedule. Moses was making a very serious mistake because he wasn't a good time manager. He had all the people coming to him sitting around all day so he could judge every matter. And Jethro would say, man, you're going to burn yourself out. All right? And really helped him in understanding how to establish delegation. And, of course, it is something that to me that has been you know, one of my keys. And that is surrounding yourself with the right people, setting up the right system. Everybody say system. Yeah, setting up the right system so that you can manage your time properly. Now, on page 9, identify the thieves, distractions, those things that pull you away from purpose and planned activities. Number 2 are interruptions, when people break your routine. Number 4, disorganization. And number 3, disorganization. And I want you to underline disorganization because most people are not organized. Organization simplifies life. Got it? Number 4, improper delegation. Many times you delegate something and then you have to end up doing it. Because either you got incompetent staff, you follow me, or you're not confident in your staff. All right? So, time management. Develop a system. You know, I travel, and so in traveling, I got to pack, and I got a system for everything I do. Everything I do, I have a system. And I rarely leave something or not do something, not carry something because I have a system of how I pack. You know, because there's some weeks I'm, you know, we're going, some months we're going every week. But when I get ready to pack, I cannot have any distractions. I don't answer the phone or anything like that. And I I used to have an array of cufflinks, and that was just too much trouble, trying to figure out what set of cufflinks to wear with what I was going to wear. So I eliminated that and got me two basic pairs, gold pair, or yellow gold and a white gold pair. Makes it simple for me. So when I'm getting ready to pack, I got, I ain't got but two choices. Now they serious pair of cufflinks. Now don't think. But I got a system. The only time I will mess up is if I let something distract me from my system. I've learned that organization makes things simple. But most people do things off the cuff and don't have a systematic way of doing things. When I have a task to do, okay, I have developed a system for doing everything, and I repeat that same system all the time. Right? I have a system for how I develop a message. We're going to learn that later on this week. I have a system. Well, when I used to do counsel with people, I had a system for counseling. I have a system for making my calls to pastors. Because I have pastors call all the time, wanting wisdom and advice and that sort of thing. And so I developed a system for calling them back. Well, when you call me, my secretary logs the call, and at the end of the day, she gives me a list of people who've called. Then I saw that people were calling me and then not coming to my meetings. So now you're a time thief. So I had to start putting on the page whether the person attended the conference or not. And if you didn't attend the conference, you don't get priority. I call you after I finish calling everybody else. All right? So everybody say a system. So you need to develop a system, because it's going to be easy for you when you develop a system and have a set way you do everything. You'll be able to do it with your automatic pilot working. Y'all remember we studied automatic pilot, see? So my automatic pilot works. So if somebody comes and says, you promised you were going to do so-and-so. Well, no, I know I didn't do that, because that's, for me to go to, for instance, if a person wants me to come to that church, they have to submit a letter. That letter, then I take the letter, look at my schedule. Based on my schedule, based on after I pray about it, whether I feel I ought to go, I let the secretary know. She sent them a letter of confirmation or denial. Got it? I don't make my schedule up on the fly. So when a person, but you promised. No, I didn't, because I don't ever do that. A systematic way, everybody say discipline. Discipline. Systematic way you do everything, and people will begin to respect it. Amen. They will begin to respect it, but you've got to set up that discipline. So when it comes to daily, now you should have a daily. I got one of these. Everybody have one? All right now. I believe that it is advantageous for you to have a tool to use to help plan your day. A tool to use to help plan your day. And so this, I designed my own planner. And I know a lot of people say, well, I got mine automated. That's fine. Whatever works for you. With me, it helps me to write stuff down. I'm trained that if I write it down, it has a greater impact. So I designed my own planner. It's called a superior planner. It works for me. Get you some tool. Got it? If you good, you do good, got it on your phone, that's discipline enough for you. But the concept is basically the same. Now, you will learn to think more creatively when you don't have to trust your memory for everything. And most people don't write things down, and they trust in their memory, and it bothers your sleep. You can't hardly sleep because you don't want to forget something. What am I supposed to do tomorrow? See, with a tool, a plan, or something like this, you don't have to concern yourself with that. Because Every day, now the master task list is something I fill out at the beginning of every week. At the beginning of every week, I sit down and I fill out everything I have to do. Got it? The first entry date goes on. The team or the person who I'm going to use or who's accountable to me on the issue is also a part of it. So to fill out this first line, let's say I do my business wisdom notes every week. So I normally would do that on a Sunday night. So Sunday night was the 19th? 18th. So I was the 18th. That would go under the date. Then under the team, I normally take that box and make an arrow. I mean a slant line, because I'm going to put the responsible person, the person I pass it off to, and in this case, it would be Cynthia Lede, my secretary. I give her the notes. The priority on Monday is an A priority because I need to get it done. And I would normally put BWC, Business Wisdom Connection Notes, because I've got to write my blog for that. You got it? I don't necessarily need a journal reference. Journal reference is where I keep extra notes, and that's just for me, but I don't have a journal reference for this. But that's what I would put. And then secondly, well, I don't have to guess. I just go to my all right. Okay. I have something that I started working on 2-4, and that was with my daughter, Prashia. And I got to start by it, because that means it's above priority 8. And it's called, she's working on my DISH OE presentation. Okay. On this also, I will have 519, and this is for IV, that's me. And that's probably a B right now. That would be a Sunday sermon. Notes. I think y'all got the drift, right? Okay. I can dump everything I got to do on this page. In fact, I still got 2 places left. And I'm real busy. If I can do all this on one page, busy as I am, I'm sure this is. And I got all kind of things on here, you know, things I'm planning to do in the future, all that kind of stuff. And so I log all of this. When I put all of this on the page, I don't have to worry about that. I can go to sleep. I'm not going to forget anything. Now, as I'm working through this, all right, like last night, I was able to get my Bishop Wisdom notes done. Boom, I draw a line through that. I feel good when I draw lines through stuff. I'm accomplishing things, all right? I'm going to show you this in the notes in just a minute. And then, of course, in just a few minutes, right now, she sent me this. Right now, I'm going to just draw a line right here. Because I ain't seen it. I ain't seen it. All right. Okay. So, now, what I will do with the other page is, on a daily basis, things that I have to get done on that day, meetings and that sort of thing, I will put them down, all right? I will also put down when I'm supposed to, let's say on one of these issues here, I was dealing with Precious, and she said, okay, I'll get back with you Friday. Well, when I go out Friday, what time? Friday, 3 o'clock. Well, I go down here on the 23rd Friday over in my grace section, and I'll put, because that's my appointment section, I'll put follow up Prashia, 3 o'clock. So I'll wait till 3:05. And if she hadn't called me back, pardon me? She's in trouble. I will call and ask her, why did she disrespect me? Yes. Okay. What blows my staff's mind is I'm able to follow up on things. But it's not because I keep it in memory, because let's say I'm supposed to follow up something on the 30th. I simply go over the 30th and write it down. So when I get to that page on the 30th, okay, I'm looking for so-and-so to do what they said. And I wait till 5 minutes after. And then I want to know why you disrespect me. All right? But I got a system. Y'all understanding this? I'm telling you. Now, the only person I know that, okay, the only person, Lady B don't have to write stuff down. She just gifted. That's one of her giftings. Got it? She don't have to write stuff down. I can't count the times. I can't count the times she's forgotten anything. But me, that's not me. I use this, I'll say it like this, religiously. This is my life right there. I mean, it's a simple plan, and I only have to do this once a week. That's what I didn't like about those other plans. You got to do this every day, write this stuff down every day. I'm going to be writing this stuff down every day. I only do it once a week. And so, of course, you know, I normally would do it on a Sunday night, but Ty took me to see Godzilla. Yeah, Ty made me go see Godzilla. Wasting my time. Ty. Yeah.
I'm gonna
sell it back into you, Bishop. Yeah, he made me go see Godzilla. That was the stupidest. And then I saw the original Godzilla. I was there. This Godzilla needed a diet. He was a fat Godzilla. Okay, now let's move on. Now, do you see the point? Do you see the point? That when I write everything down and I document it, I don't have to keep it on my mind. I'm able to follow up on the things I have delegated. So I stay on top of things. And I can tell you, it amazes my staff because, you know, I'm on top of it. I'm not doing everything, so I may be on the road. But you said you were going to get back with me on this particular thing. I've written it down. And I think our key staff people have these. We don't sell them anymore. I know you don't. I know you. Oh, yeah. All right. Huh? Yeah, we don't make them available. Maybe when Dr. I comes, she may, I may even talk her into some of them. But this is a simple system. Any system will work. I'm just saying use a system. Don't try to keep it in your memory.
Amen.
Got it? You're taking up space that you need.
That's right.
All right. Now, everybody say decent and in order. I'm on page 10. It says, let everything be done decently and in order. When I'm scheduling things, let me move back on page 10, but letter C. It is important when I'm scheduling a day's task, there are certain things I do. When I set these priorities, I know that there are certain things I need to get done on a certain day. So I'm able to change a priority from a B to if I got to get it done that day, it becomes a star. You follow me? And I got to get all my stars done that day. So what I'm able to do is, as number one says, list tasks thoroughly and completely, prioritize tasks, and it is what needs to be done at a certain time, evaluate time requirements. That's so important. I know how much time I'm going to allocate to everything. All right? So if I'm going to make a call to Precia on a thing, that ain't about 5 to 10 minutes at the most. But I'm going to give it 15. You got it? My bishop wizard knows I've done that enough to know I'm going to be finished with that probably in about 30 minutes at the most. You got it? So after I add up all of the priority things I got to do, I know my maximum time requirement for the day. That's always less than 8 hours. Always less than 8 hours. What happens is people steal your time. They call you and they ain't talking about nothing. And you've not figured out how to get them off the phone. Here's my get off the phone. All right. All right. Now, on my busy days, I have a 3-minute hourglass. A 3-minute hourglass. When you call me, I flip it. Or when I'm making calls to people, I flip it. Because I got 3 minutes on this call. Now, when the sand runs out, you get the all right. Everybody say discipline, discipline, discipline. All right. All right. Delegate. Allocate tasks according to time. In other words, all right, I know how much time I need. I know whether I'm going to need to do it in the morning, in the evening, that sort of thing. Next thing is delegate where possible. And that is if you've selected good quality people, you can delegate to them and they can get things done. But when I delegate, I don't abdicate. In other words, when I delegate it to you, I'm still accountable for it. So I make sure I got a note that I've delegated to you and when you should be getting back with me. Now, we talked about communication. We're going to talk about that because so a lot of your time is lost because you don't communicate. And I've talked to my staff all the time about communicating. And, you know, when somebody says, I'll get back with you, it's when. When? Because you got to nail them down to a time. And if you don't, you're not managing your time. All right? And so the next one is execute a plan of action based on priority list. Eliminate completed tasks from the list. Reward yourself for the job well done. My reward comes when I'm accomplishing stuff. You follow me? And, of course, I normally will reward myself with time I can do whatever I want to do. And that's normally me fishing at my lake. Yeah, when I have done all I can do, it's me and my pole. I got a little golf cart. It's got all of my fishing gear on. I ride out to the lake, and I reward myself by catching fish. And I don't feel guilty that everybody is working. All right, y'all get the concept? Now, raise your hand, right hand. I promise to be a good steward of my time from this day forward. If I'm a good steward of my time, I'll have more time to do what I want to do. All right. We didn't say Jesus' name. I ain't going to tell you no Jesus' name. All right. Let's move on now, because everybody say organization. All right. The foundation for everything, what we're doing, is everything needs to be done decently and in order. The organization component is so vitally important because everything needs to be organized. Everything. We have a way we do everything, and we organize. Everything is organized, and you can't do it all yourself. Got it? You have to understand the power of delegation. And when you delegate it to people, you have to give grace for them to mess up. Because they have to learn. And if you are almost a perfectionist like I am, it's hard to get that grace. Because, you know, I worked in industry as a system analyst. And one company I worked for, I'm an assistant analyst. I was a computer operations manager. We could not have errors. We did bookkeeping for companies, and we could not have errors. So I had a system and of checks and balances. And you had to follow my system. Because if an error went out the door, we lost a customer. We lose a customer, we lose revenue. We lose revenue, the boss jumps on me and I can lose my job. Yet I cannot do all the work. So I had a rigid training and I would ask the person, do you understand? They say, yes. I said, no. Do you really understand? Because you have one opportunity to make a mistake. The second one, you go home. Well, it's them or me. I'd rather send them home than I get fired. So the question was, do you understand? Okay. Thank God we don't have that. It's not that rigid here in ministry. But the whole point is, you've got to begin to trust people, and you've got to begin, and the whole point of training a person to do something is you do it with me, I watch you do it, I release you to do it. First, you watch me do it. Then you do it with me. Then I let you do it and watch you, and then I let you go. So that's the process that we use with what we do. Documentation. Everybody say documentation. Documentation is the key. You got to have this process where you memorialize what you do. So I think Dr. Arisha will probably come tomorrow. What is she coming? Wednesday, right?
Thursday.
And you'll understand we got planning books. See, everything we do is planned. And we got a system of how we do everything. The planning book is about this thick. It's about this thick, and I'll have to bring several planning books. Because we have a set way of doing things. We have a set way we do funerals. Got it? There's no deviation. And so we do funerals a set way. This is what we do, so we don't, our funerals are wonderful. Got it? And we're fair to everybody, but we do it a set way. And it's documented. Everybody say documented. Wow. So we have policies and procedures for everything. To bring order to your church and fairness, you need policies and procedures that you follow. So when a family comes in to make their funeral arrangements, we have it already outlined for what they do. Now, do we have that available to Bridge? That's policies and procedures. Yes. That's in your session. Okay. For weddings, we have a set way we do weddings. All right. So the people that we have, that we delegated it to, are going to do it exactly like I told them to do it. We do not have late weddings. What did I say? We don't have late weddings. You sign an agreement that you're going to be here on time. And that if you're not on time, we will shut the door. We'll lock it up. Have you ever gone to a wedding hour and a half late?
Yes.
Not at the light. Not at the light. And the person know if you can't follow this, then you go home.
Yeah.
I'm talking my staff. My staff knows. You do this like this, or you're going to get fired. They already signed an agreement, knowing that they're supposed to be here. I think that's cold. No, decent and in order. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, our church is 30 years old. How many late weddings have we had? I don't think we've had any late. I think we had one situation where... the wedding wasn't here, where the lady said, I don't care, we're going to get started. I think the groom's parents wasn't here.
Just
yeah.
That wasn't here, but
yeah, but the groom's parents,
they
said, no. That's their fault. We said this time, that's what we're going to do. And one time the flowers hadn't gotten here to one wedding, and they was waiting on the flowers, and some florists can be real notoriously late. And our wedding team was creative. We normally have a whole lot of flowers around, and they made a bouquet. And we got started on time. And when the lady came with her bouquet, the bride wanted ours. Because the one she paid for didn't look good at all. But my point is, if we document it, and we say we're going to do it, that's what we do. Everybody say documentation.
Documentation.
Yeah, so you need to establish some policies and procedures that are non-negotiable. non-negotiable. All right, let's take a moment when we do our funerals. When I do our funerals, of course, you know, we had to get all of our funeral directors who come to our church, we had to get them trained. Because it's like almost like they get some joy, some morbid joy out of making people cry.
Yes.
Y'all seen them? They take that casket and bring that casket in front of people.
Yes.
Then if that person crying, they back that baby up. Push it down your throat.
Yes.
We don't play that. Once the casket is closed, after the entry, it's closed. Got it? Now, all of our members know that, and of course they're okay, but then every now and then, like we had one guy who passed, and his mother, boy, she just wanted to clown. She just wanted to clown. And so after we preached the word, and when we preached the word, we chased all the grief out the place. You got it? And so we're getting ready to go, call for the funeral director. I want to see my baby. I want to see. She already know. We told her we weren't going to open the casket. She already agreed, but now she's trying to clown me on the spot. I want to see my baby. Y'all going to let me see my baby. I said, hold on, baby. No problem. Directors, come on. Had them start playing the music. And then I come down with her. Because, see, she wants to really cut up. And I'm in her ear. Now, you said you want to see him. Well, we're going to let you see him, okay? Y'all open the casket back up. We're going to let you see him. Are you all right? How you doing? You doing okay? We're going to let you see your baby. Yes, indeed. Yeah, hold on. Now, don't. Yes, indeed. He looks just like he slept on it. Are you all right now? Are you all right now? You want a little more time? You want to see him? See, because she wants to cut up. Yeah. I'm just taking. So she just got frustrated. Don't close it. Because, see, she put you in a spot. You don't want to be called so insensitive you wouldn't let her have the last look at her baby. But that look, I took over that look. She wanted to clown, but, you know, that's okay. But I'm saying, when we have policies and procedures, we follow them. And you have to do that, otherwise you're not going to be able to delegate with confidence. I delegate with confidence because people follow the policy and the procedures that we have. And every policy, every task is documented. Now, the advantage you have is that, especially if you come to the conference, you don't have to recreate the wheel. The manual that we have, I think we quit doing it on the manual, but I think the manual just for sale. We have a policy and procedure manual. Huh? We still have that. I tell people, go on and buy that, scratch our name out, put your name on there, and you're ready to go. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Follow me? So, but everything you do needs to be documented. The other thing that does, when you document everything, when folk leave, the ship continues to function. Because my system is what runs the ministry, not the individual. So when the person leaves, I got another person, boom, I put in the same spot, give them the roadmap, you know, give them the plan, and they run it the same way. So I'm safeguard with a ministry being built around a person.
Yeah.
Amen. And so so when people decide, because you can't make people stay. You know, they decide they're going to leave. Well, praise the Lord. You know, but I got a system. So I'm going to put somebody else in the system that's going to do it just like we've always done it. And we still be the church like no other. All right? We have guidelines for every aspect of the ministry. Guidelines for what it takes to sing in the choir. Guidelines for whatever it takes to work in our ministry, our excellence team. Everything is written. Guidelines for how they're supposed to set up the sound system. Guidelines for what the video people do. Everything is written. So now you say, oh man, that's a massive task. But once it's done, it's done. And once you have people respecting that, then it's easy to do what you need to do. Organization simplifies life. Can I get you to say that, organization? Simplifies life. All right, now, so then, When it comes to, go to page 13. When it comes to communicating this, that is actually, if I am going to multitask, I have to learn to communicate, and I have to learn to follow up. Everybody say follow up is the key. All right. So now, you can take the time to read all those seven things, but the communication is about me having a system whereby I let you know what's expected, whereby I'm able to follow up on you to make sure you're doing what's expected. And if you have questions, you are able to come and get answers to your questions. So if I'm going to be a multitasker, delegation, documentation, communication is critical. Everybody say delegation,
delegation.
Documentation,
delegation.
Communication,
delegation.
Critical. Yeah, it's going to be critical because I'm going to be able to do more. Now, I'm able to do a whole lot because I don't think there's anything conceptually in my ministry I don't understand. I don't think there's anything. Lady Bridget and I used to do the television ministry ourselves. In fact, I know how to edit and all that kind of stuff. I edited my first program. So conceptually, I understand television. Lady Bridget basically runs our accounting department, oversees that. That's part of her job. We've delegated where I do construction. The spiritual teaching, I write the lessons, and what else I do? Television ministry, media ministry,
construction. Malachi.
Yeah, legal, and you're gonna hear from Malachi in just a minute. What else? The spiritual, I write the lessons in spiritual, and vision. That's mine. Lady Bridget, you do what?
Membership care.
Membership care. Accounting. That's your role. You oversee it. She oversee the music and worship. You got it. I don't oversee worship and all that kind of stuff. They do all that. I just said, let me preach. Because all the dances and the prances, I wouldn't have none of them. To this day, I don't like them dances and the prances, I'm telling you. But I don't have service. I don't have service for me. I realize service is for everybody else. And they be serious. They be had to look over me. Just let me preach, you understand? So Lady B is over that. What else are you over, Lady B?
Yeah, the
decoration. I build them and she decorate them. Yeah, I build them, she decorate them. And so, janitorial building maintenance, she oversees that. And I do aviation too. I'm aviation. If I had my flow chart here, I wouldn't have to stumble about this. But that's what we do. We have, and so then under us, we have managers who are delegated certain roles that report to us. Terry reports to me on aviation. And he reports to her on maintenance and janitorial. Eric reports to me on the media, and Malachi reports to me on legal, and I report to me on vision, and I report to me on the spiritual. Got it? And the lessons. We have a unique way of doing our preaching here. Since we have multiple campuses, they preach what I preach the week after. I preach something, then the next week, then they preach it. So we all grow as one church family. Got it? They can put their own personality in it, but the content is really all comes from one stream. So we don't have one person got this revelation over here, another person got another revelation over there, and everybody all walking around confused. Or somebody hear something on television, and then you're trying to teach what you heard on television. No, there's one voice. And if a person can't work in that system, we say, okay, fine. This ain't the place for you. Because I had one guy who came with his revelation. After going through our system, he said he knew what he's supposed to preach that Sunday. And we put him up to preach. He preached something totally different. The next week, boom, I hit him straight up. Did you understand what they said? Yes, I understood. But I have my own revelation. I said, well, now, why would I want that? You couldn't keep your church open with it. No. He couldn't keep his church open. I'm going to try to give him a chance. He'd sit here under the ministry. He had to close his church. Well, they closed it down. So, he's going to talk about he got his own revelation. So I just had to bust. I said, you will never get a chance to preach here again, ever. Because you fooled me. You told me you were going to do one thing, and you did another. So I'm just telling you, you will never preach here again. I said, you're cold. Okay, say me, I'm cold. When it comes to what we do here, we have a system for how we do everything. That's why we're consistent year after year after year after year. And our managers know it. And they follow it to the T.